Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The date is Tuesday, June 13th, 2017. The time is 10:59 a.m. This is a hearing of the District of Columbia Rental Housing Commission. The location of the hearing room is Suite 1140 North, 441 4th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. We're here pursuant to D.C. Law 6-10, the Rental Housing Act of 1985, as amended. I'm chairperson. Peter Segedy-Mazak, and I will serve today to chair the hearing. With me today on my right is Commissioner Diana Harris-Epps, and on my left is Commissioner Michael Spencer. We have one argument today, notice for hearing at 9 a.m. regarding the housing accommodation located at 1841 Columbia Road Northwest, Unit 805. The tenant petition number is RHTP 1330371. The case is styled Byron Watkins, tenant appellant versus Alcazar Apartments, housing provider appellee. Commission notes that there are parties seated before it and would ask that you identify yourselves for the record, beginning with the tenant appellant.
Byron Watkins.
Thank you, Mr. Watkins. And for the housing provider.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Carol Blumenthal, and I represent the housing provider respondent.
Good morning, Ms. Blumenthal. I'd briefly like to explain our procedures. Our rules are similar to those of the D.C. Court of Appeals. Each party will have 20 minutes to present your case, beginning with the tenant appellant. The housing provider appellee, the tenant appellant may reserve up to 5 minutes of your 20 minutes for rebuttal following the presentation of the housing provider appellee. The housing provider appellee has no must present its arguments within 20 minutes and has no rebuttal. In our discretion, we may allow more than 20 minutes for argument in the event that we ask a lot of questions. The Commission's hearing will be recorded on audio CD. Our decision will be issued in writing and sent to the parties within 30 to 45 days. In this proceeding, we do not request nor will we accept post-hearing submissions. Please turn off cell phones or other electronic equipment. Can I ask you what is the purpose of the laptop?
So I had briefly added some few notes on my laptop, and that's basically the reason for its existence.
Okay. So it's basically the equivalent of a piece of paper that you would have written on, but you've got it on your laptop instead. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. In the interest of administrative efficiency and the opportunity for a prompt resolution of this appeal, we respectfully ask each party whether they may be interested in settling this case now before argument. We have a very good professional settlement officer on our staff, and who would serve as the settlement officer for trying to settle the appeal before it goes to hearing and then for a decision. We encourage settlement, but both parties have to agree. So, Mr. Watkins, are you interested in attempting to settle this matter with Alcazar?
Absolutely, sir.
Ms. Blumenthal, do you have the authority of Alcazar to engage in settlement discussions with Mr. Watkins?
No, Your Honor, my client does not believe that would be productive.
Okay, very good. We're not aware of any preliminary matters in this case, and we therefore allow the tenant to commence. Mr. Watkins, do you want to reserve any time for rebuttal after Ms. Blumenthal presents her case?
Yes.
And how much would you like, sir? You have up to 5 minutes if you want.
I'll take 5 minutes.
Okay, will do. Okay, Mr. Watkins, you have the floor.
Honorable judges, I thank you for hearing this case. It's been about 5 years, and so I want to very briefly just tell this court and the administrative body that helped me get to this point that I'm very appreciative to the attention and the time and resources that they put into making sure that the tenant TOPA rights and all other tenant acquisitional of capabilities were allowed to be heard.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
Your tenant petition indicates that that you were concerned. Let me just get it here. About a rent adjustment, but you also mentioned retaliation.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever have the opportunity to discuss retaliation, either in Superior Court or in the court below?
No, sir.
Is that still an issue that you? I presumably you wanted litigated, right?
Absolutely.
Because you raised it in your petition, right?
Yes, I did.
All right. That's all. That you please proceed.
Over these 5 years, the tenant appellant, Byron Watkins' stance has never changed. However, housing providers has changed so much so that it's contorted them into a pretzel of perjury, exfoliation of evidence, and their only defense is that it's too late for them to be punished.
I want to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. Can you think back to when you were before Judge Rankin?
Yes.
In October of 2012. Could you describe to me what type of information you provided to Judge Rankin on that day?
Yes, I can, madam. Basically, Judge Rankin had asked us both about this change in commercial tendency because I'd given evidence to show that I had...
Could you tell us what evidence you actually provided to Judge Rankin?
Yes.
I don't need to see it. You can just tell me.
Oh, so it was basically all of the tenant information, meaning every documentation that they had submitted to me stipulating that, you know, tenant, we're coming to check your stuff. Tenant, you know, we'd like... They basically were every tenant documentation ascribing me as a tenant.
And did you provide Judge Mangan with those same documents below?
Yes, and on top of that, Judge Mangan was confused as to how the change actually happened.
So then after you provided all those documents to Judge Rankin, he evidently did not agree with your version?
No, actually Judge Rankin, he was confused. He was under the impression that the Adams Morgan Day Festival was basically an organization. And so he had asked me that Eddie Cordone, who was the lawyer, said that I was conducting business. So Judge Rankin said, well, he wasn't aware or didn't understand what this organization was, what this business was. So I showed him the documentation ascribing what the Adams Morgan Festival comprised of, and that it was a nonprofit organization for community development. At the time, that event hosted about 300,000 D.C. residents every single year. Judge Rankin had never heard of it before. I gave him the flyer. I told him that my position was an unpaid, non-profitable community development position and that I at no time had conducted business.
And that's the name of your business then?
No. The Adams Morgan Day Festival was put on by the Main Street.
So no, but the lease that initially started this was not under Mr. Watkins.
No,
name.
Absolutely.
The lease was under your name.
No, correct? The lease was under Byron Watkins, and I'm going to describe to you the fraudulent activity of housing provider. What happened was me and two other tenants actually had LLCs. The owner of BOSA lived in the building. The other owner of Napoleon's lived in the building. And about six other ones of us had other businesses. In essence, my business, at the time, we basically facilitated contracts between companies that wanted to do advertisement. So
what was your business called?
Ideally LLC.
Right.
And so I would get like a company like Pisco. They are they do like wine and bottles and stuff. They would send me like free bottles and everything else and be like, hey, Mr. Watkins, can you just let people know about what we have? Or I got like free shoes when Nike were releasing them for special detail or like different kinds of things that came to me. Six boxes of my belongings were stolen. And so I called at that time the original owner of the building of Alcazar before they'd sold it. And our property manager at the time, Gail, said that basically it was a problem because they kept stealing our mail. So Wagner had his belongings stolen. I had 6 different boxes stolen. NPD, the CAC, which is the Citizens Advisory Committee to the Police, which I used to be a member of. I said we needed to resolve the matter. So they said, well, we don't have a mailbox for you guys. So it's just sitting there. So that's why stuff is getting stolen. So then I said, okay, well, why don't we come up with a compromise and you give us a mailbox for our LLCs? Because basically they were supposed to put the belongings in the office, in the management office. So they asked me, well, what's your company's name? Now, before this time, on my lease was Byron Watkins. Mind you now, this lease has no line item for anything other than, like, my name.
And all of this information, including that lease, was provided to Judge Rankin.
Yes. So Judge Rankin received the secondary lease. This lease I had never before seen in my life until we went to court. This lease says Adili LLC. So I asked Judge Rankin, I said, well, the original lease clearly has Byron Watkins at the bottom.
So Judge Rankin received both leases?
Judge Rankin received this lease. Apparently, they said that their lease was the new lease that had been generated when they took over the building.
So when you learned, Judge Rankin did not rule in your favor, correct?
No, Judge Rankin did not, because Judge Rankin, he misunderstood what LLC was functioning in the building. He didn't understand that the Adams Morgan Day Festival and all of the flyers and all that kind of stuff that came along with it had nothing to do with the Adili.
And so when you learned that Judge Rankin had not ruled in your favor, did you then appeal his ruling?
I could not. Well, actually, Judge Rankin, at that same hearing, Judge Rankin said if they lied, he said there would be draconian response for this situation. Because Judge Rankin actually allowed me, and during cross, to ask them, did they sign any other documentation stipulating that this was a tendency?
Was there a particular reason why you didn't decide to appeal Judge Rankin's?
Yes. Judge Rankin allowed us for 15 days to respond. I asked then lawyer representative for Alcazar, Eddie Cardone, to release to me the RAD documentation. Which is important about this RAD documentation is because the RAD documentation stipulates tendency. So on it, it says, you know, you're going to go for this development agreement or voluntary agreement, whatever, give us a list of your tenants, and you have to sign your name to it, and therefore ascribing who a tenant is. And it's separated between commercial and residential. In court, Eddie Cardone said that the commercial spaces were all over the building. That's what Judge Rankin came to understand. I told Judge Rankin that was a complete fabrication of reality, and that at no one point in time is it permissible for them to have any other space than the subterranean dwelling beneath the building.
So commercial. Did you ever appeal Judge Rankin's?
So Judge Rankin, the appeal for Judge Rankin had to be on the premise of tendency. And so without the RAD documentation, there could be no appeal because there would be no other proof other than stipulating what we had agreed in court as the last standing document that they had signed acknowledging tendency. Judge Rankin said that they had the right to change from commercial to residency. I'm not even sure where he ascribed that from, because they would have to have given me a lease.
What was your initial lease? I'm sorry, Commissioner.
So my initial lease, which has my name on it, is Byron Watkins, right, was just what it was. They then superimposed a Adili on a document, and there is no signature for it. If this was an original lease, this would have had to have been given to me with an agreement stating that I could do commercial business in that building.
So in the absence of the RAD documentation that you wanted, why didn't you present this original lease to the judge?
This was the original lease. This was their counter lease.
Did you have a version that had, in the beginning?
No. I just had the original lease. Commissioner Spencer, I'm going to explain to you. The original lease had no cover letter.
Okay.
They then took this cover letter and superimposed it on the document. So, in essence, if they had, if this were actually in pursuant to law, an actually standing lease agreement, they would have had to given me an actual document from them stating that I could do commercial business in that structure, because 0.19 in this lease says clearly that you cannot do any other business in there without written consent of the owner. So when in there did they give me written consent? If they were to, let's say, this were a real true standing document, let's just give them that. Like, let's say, okay, this is commercial. Well, then where is the other document that would have had to follow this, stipulating that they give me the right to be a commercial?
So just to be clear, when you're before Judge Rankin,
mm-hmm.
there was a copy of the lease that you've described as the superimposed cover sheet.
Yes, ma'am.
And that one was unsigned by you.
Yes, but Judge Rankin.
And okay. Then there was a copy of the document that you actually signed.
No, so they both the leases, as far as Judge Rankin's were concerned, were the same lease. He did not differentiate, and he said he would not differentiate between the lease that I was saying, which was mine, that didn't have a cover sheet, and then this one, which is a cover sheet one. So I told Judge Rankin, I said, if this were the actual cover sheet, right, if this were a true lease agreement, they would have had to give me written consent, because in the lease it says that you can't do business. So where is that letter? Judge Rankin responded and said that the lawyer, Eddie Cardone, said that the whole building was allowed to have commercial spaces in it. And that is not true. As a matter of fact, I checked with DCRA, and they clearly stipulated and said, Mr. Watkins, under no uncertain terms, can they have any other business on any other floor, because it's not sanctioned or clarified for that. So then I went back to Judge Rankin while we were in the process of the hearing, and I said, Judge Rankin, I said, first of all, I checked with the DC agencies, including the agency that was the one receiving the RAD document. So Judge Rankin said, well, can you explain to me what the RAD document is, Mr. Watkins?
Let me just, did Judge Rankin ever actually issue like a nice long written order describing to you how he came to your conclusion?
No.
Okay. Chairman, you had a question.
Yeah. When you signed the lease, mm-hmm. as a tenant.
Yes.
What was your intention at the time for your use of that unit?
To be a tenant.
To live in it.
To live in it.
And so you had a bed and a... And so how did you run Adili Inc. out of that?
I did. I never did. Adili had its own building. It was at 201 Mass Avenue. And that was submitted to them as a matter of fact when I actually did my authorization paperwork.
So your points are... And we already are up against the 15 minutes, but you were asked a lot of questions. Your point is that Adili was never a tenant... That in fact the only tenant here was Byron Watkins, as shown on your initial lease, which shows your signature, and it also contains that clause that you mentioned that if you needed the consent of the owner to make any changes in the use of the unit to any other use.
Yes,
you
sir.
Otherwise prohibited.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, where I think we're going a little off the rails here is when you had, just listen to me, sir, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you were before Judge Mangan below,
mm-hmm.
okay, did you make any of these arguments?
Yes.
Okay. And what did she, what was her response to you based on the, and did you introduce into evidence your original lease, which stated that you were a tenant, and did you show that there was this, quote, fake lease that, did you introduce any of that into the evidence below?
So, when I introduced it into Judge Rankin's, When that was the actual hearing where we were going to decide.
I'm not interested in Judge Rankin right now.
Okay, so which judge are
you talking about? I'm only interested in when you came to this building.
Yes.
And you had a hearing before Judge Mangan.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Now, I'm just asking you a question about that hearing.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
I was confused about which judge.
Just listen to me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Did you say to Judge Mangan, Judge Mangan, I'd like to introduce my lease into evidence here to show that I signed this lease as your name, and that was the original lease, but there's another lease here that's not my lease. This is the lease this was the original lease that I signed. Did you say that to her?
I said partial of that. What I said to Judge Mangan was that basically this lease is basically fraudulent, and that pursuant to the section I was saying 0.16, that I explained the whole part about if they're going to say that this is an actual lease, then where is my document allowing me to have it as a commercial space? That's what I said to her. I didn't argue out of exhaustion the same point of the lease being fraudulent, because in every court no one seemed to care. So I had discerned that why keep arguing something that no judge wants to hear, right? Because clearly Judge Rankin clearly said, well, yes, you're probably right, and if you're right, well then if they sign something in another agency, well then I will appeal my decision.
So just to close this thing up, and then I'll ask my colleagues if they have any questions. My final question, I've had enough, but in light of what you're claiming, okay, and we can't make any decisions on what happened in Superior Court, okay?
Yes.
That's a done deal, okay? The question that Judge Epps asked you about, did you appeal that decision? We don't have any record that you appealed the decision to the D.C. Court of Appeals. Is that a fair statement of that case, the Superior Court case?
So
I'm just asking, it's a yes or no.
So in the process of trying to appeal, I asked for documents from RAD to certify the document that I had stated in front of Judge Rankin. They told me it would take some time and that I would receive it as soon as the respondent had submitted.
So I'll take that as a no. Now, let me then ask you, those documents that you're just talking about,
mm-hmm.
okay, from RAD,
yes.
Did you introduce them below before Judge Mangan? Did you say, Judge Mangan, I have some documents here that I got from RAD. Did you put them into evidence below?
Judge Mangan is...
Those are the documents you submitted, correct, for your motion for reconsideration.
Yes.
The newly discovered evidence,
but that came... Judge Mangan knew about those
yes.
documents.
Yes,
okay.
Judge Mangan was aware of those documents
okay.
upon appeal, yes.
Okay, okay. Judge Spencer, do you have any questions? Judge Epps.
You were giving an explanation. Your explanation for the timing of your submission of the RAD documents, you indicated that you were not able to get them sooner because the RAD office told you they were waiting for the housing provider to provide them with copies.
Yes. So upon trying to get an appeal, I basically asked them how long it would take and whether I could get an expedite. Now, I promise you, you may not know me, but people in the city do. I will go everywhere, and I have fought this fight for 5 years. So when I tell you I'm a person who pursues something to the end, I'm that guy. I originally requested it as far as an expedite. I went to my ANC. I went to the mayor's moker. I pressed on everyone in every agency to expedite that so that I could do my appeal in 15 days, as so suggested by Judge Rankin. They told me that it would come as soon as the respondent signed it. I just received it when I filed my appeal with Judge Mangan. This has been 5 years later. I asked for this document immediately before we went to court because they were supposed to have a finding of whether or not the tenancy was commercial or residential. the owner then tried to say that because I was running an organization, Judge Rankin had no idea what that was, that somehow it was a business. When the neighborhood organization, which is a nonprofit, which is a Main Street, had an office on 18th Street. Adeli LLC had an office on Capitol Hill. So why would I need to do business in my domicile? When I was the one that created the tenant association, that can't be argued. Even they admitted that. Then on top of it, when I got parking in the back, not only did they not say thank you, Honorable Commissioner Epps, but they took it for themselves. They took it away from the tenants. So you see who you're dealing with. This is a person who will do anything and say anything without any compounds to credibility. And because of the way the structure is made in D.C. as far as litigation and processing, they know they can get away from it.
So just this is the very last question.
Yes, ma'am.
So we understand in response to the chairman's perfectly articulated question, mm-hmm. you had attempted to get those two documents from RAD sooner. And your intent was to submit them to Judge Rankin, had you received them sooner, in order to appeal his ruling. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And so when exactly did you get those documents?
I got them, it's actually in a document. I got them on the date that I gave.
Oh, your motion for reconsideration.
My motion to reconsider. The date is actually there. It's the 8th.
All right. Thank you.
And one last thing. I do plan to go back to Judge Rankin's. And now that I actually have the documents, I'm still going to appeal. That's going to happen.
Anything more, Chairman, based on my questions?
Nothing more.
No, I'm. Thank you very much, sir. And we'll reserve 5 minutes for you because we did ask you a lot of questions.
I took up all your time. I'm so
no,
sorry.
No, it's okay. No. I thank you, Commissioners, for giving me the opportunity to bat away these.
Thank you for
illuminations and lies.
Yeah, thank you for your argument, Ms. Blumenthal.
Your Honor, as you know, the OAH has jurisdiction over residential and not over commercial tenancies. The issue of the commercial, whether or not Mr. Watkins had a commercial tenancy, was litigated twice before the Superior Court, and the dockets of those two proceedings have been submitted with our appellee's brief and are also should be in your record.
Are we bound by collateral estoppel and res judicata if we believe that the original decision by Judge Rankin may have been flawed?
Yes.
As a matter of law?
As a matter of law, I believe so. There was no appeal from the Superior Court decision. It's a final decision. And because it is a decision, this case never reached the threshold question of whether there was jurisdiction for the OAH to look at it at all. I would also point out to you, insofar as we are reviewing things today, the lease that was presented to the Superior Court for Adeli, those cases were both brought in the name of Adeli, because Mr. Watkins' signature appeared on that lease. Now, I take his comments today to say that he has not said that wasn't his signature. He has said, oh, it would be wrong in a residential building without some other documentation for him to have carried on a business. But he has not said that was not his signature. Whether it was his signature, whether the lease was legitimate or not, is the heart of the landlord-tenant case and basically came down to the credibility of the witnesses, and the decision was what the decision was. Now, had Mr. Watkins sought other information, let's say documentation from the rental accommodations division, but was unable to get it prior to the trial, then it was incumbent upon him to ask for a continuance in order for him to obtain that information, which he did not do. It is further
objection. No,
you can't.
No.
I'm sorry.
You have 5 minutes after Ms. Blumenthal.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
Still have 5 minutes after she, so make notes to yourself about what you want to say after Ms. Blumenthal is finished, okay?
I'm sorry, so I can't object. I'm sorry. I didn't know, sir.
Thank you.
I was not counsel in the landlord-tenant cases, but it's also my understanding Mr. Watkins made reference to that he was the gentleman who actually started the tenant association. At some point, there was a sale, there were some TOPA activities where my client purchased the building. My understanding is that the tenant association treated Mr. Watkins' tenancy as a commercial tenancy.
Did you receive...
Please, sir. Excuse me. Mr. Watkins, I know that this is very emotional.
No, I'm
telling you our impression up here, okay? When we hear that, that loud kind of reaction, please, if you have to do that, go outside. If you feel that compelled, because otherwise you're disturbing our ability to hear Ms. Blumenthal. As we gave you the ability to express yourself, give Ms. Blumenthal the respect of not commenting, making noises, or doing anything that would distract us, just as she gave you that opportunity, and we did, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can I say one thing?
No. Okay. I've made my point. Please, okay?
Yes, sir.
So just, please, you have an opportunity for 5 minutes after she finishes. I'm asking you now, please, just try to stay controlled. Write your notes down that you want to tell us after the 5 minutes, and that'll be fine, okay? You'll have another chance. Just let us hear Ms. Blumenthal now, okay? Ms. Blumenthal.
Did Judge Rankin actually ever issue anything other than the notes from court view that you provided us with?
He did not, Your Honor. It was a bench trial in the landlord-tenant division, and as is most common there are only the docket entries. I would like to point something out on the docket entry, however, that again is attached both to our brief and to the summary judgment below.
The little teeny one.
But I'll read you the relevant part for purposes of this point. In 2012, LTB 20850, you will notice that on October 12th of 2012, when a judgment was entered, the court made specific fine. The court finds and facts this case is commercial. But beyond that, it also sets a translux amount of $3,370, which suggests to me that this was a non-payment case. It was a redeemable judgment, and I believe, I suppose that's where the second case came from, was because presumably Mr. Watkins did in fact redeem his tenancy. But in that regard, let me say, you had originally asked, Commissioner, whether retaliation had been raised. I'm sorry, the chairman raised whether retaliation, you know, was raised as a defense or could have been raised as a defense in a non-payment case. If the finding is a commercial tenancy, then retaliation does not apply in commercial tenancies. But if Mr. Watkins' defense, which apparently it was that he was in fact a residential tenant, then retaliation would certainly have been could have been raised in that proceeding.
But there's no indication on our record that was in fact the case on October the 12th before Judge Rankin, that retaliation was one of the issues that was actually raised.
Not written before the record, correct. I'm simply stating how,
Ms. Blumenthal, was the only thing I referred to was the tenant petition, that's all, because he had, in the tenant petition that he filed, there was a, he checked the 30-day, not given 30-day notice for rent increase, and he also, but in his explanation he said, this was done in retaliation for my work on a voluntary agreement. Or trying to organize tenants. And so it's part of the case before us that Judge Rankin determined because he was a commercial tenant, presumably the issue of retaliation was not addressed at all. that's
as would, I would agree, Your Honor, that it would not have been addressed. Correct. I think if you have any questions, I will try to respond. But I mean, I believe that Mr. Watkins did not meet the threshold test for having jurisdiction before Judge Magnin, because, as I say, there were two proceedings below. Those decisions were not appealed. Those are and therefore they are final orders, and I would suggest determinative of the situation in this case.
So, to the best of your knowledge, there is no case law in the District of Columbia which would determine that because of errors made or because of manifest injustice or other legal standards, there are certain ways to suspend res judicata and collateral estoppel in the underlying proceeding. Because if the underlying proceeding is faulty in any way, to entomb that as precedent for further decisions, it would seem to me, would be patently wrong, because it's based on an error of law at its core. And if a later court determines that, if a later court is unable to determine that, now you may say, yes, that could have been determined on appeal, he failed to appeal, but that does not necessarily mean that the court below, Judge Mangan, didn't have an opportunity at least to explore certain questions with respect to the difference between Adelia Inc. and his own name, which appeared on the lease that I have in my packet and must have been before Judge Mangan at the same time as a residential lease, because the residential lease was very clear for use as a private residential dwelling and not otherwise. And so if that's before Judge Mangan and there's a judgment from Superior Court that talks about commercial tenant, and there is conflicting evidence before Judge Mangan that this may not be a commercial tenant, wasn't Judge Mangan under a legal obligation to at least investigate that in the interest of justice, if for no other reason? Are we bound by Superior Court?
You are bound. You are not a reviewing, with respect, sir.
Okay.
You are not a reviewing court of the Superior Court.
But couldn't the tenant now, under this idea of newly discovered evidence, clearly crack open the other thing before Superior Court if the representations are to be believed that he only just recently received those documents? That would be sufficient to allow that to be accepted.
Well, I think we could argue that point. But
for Judge Rankin to decide.
We could argue that point. I think there were remedies that could have been had at the time, and I'm not sure that it would qualify as newly discovered evidence. But what I would say, Commissioner, is that would be the necessary step. The proper step is not to come here and attempt to appeal before an administrative agency the ruling, the final judgment, the unappealed judgment of the Superior Court, but it would be incumbent upon Mr. Watkins to get that judgment reversed first in Superior Court before he could.
What's your response to the chairman, essentially, is even...
Sometimes wrong decisions may be made. I'm not saying it was wrong in this, and I'm sorry, I should not have cut you off.
No, I was just saying that even to reach the question that the chairman has presented would have to, OAH would still have to come to the conclusion that they have the jurisdiction even to reach it, even to begin with. And based on the way the case was presented and the ruling from Superior Court, they don't have the ability even to make that question.
That is my position, and that's my understanding of the law. That's correct.
Commissioner Epps, any more?
No.
Commissioner Spencer. Ms. Blumenthal, thank you. I there is a standard that says if fraud was used in obtaining an initial judgment, that is certainly a grounds to suspend collateral estoppel as being, because that then, as the fact finder, that then would render the initial proceeding predicated on false evidence, with the result being a judgment that was not based on correct evidence. And so there are...
But Commissioner, if I may, that's correct. A reviewing court of the Superior Court, the Court of Appeals...
All I'm saying is that we're reviewing a decision. You got to be careful here. You got to be real, real careful here. We are not reviewing Judge Rankin's decision. The court below relied on Judge Rankin's decision as the basis of her judgment. We can easily, and that's our role, say, you know what? We don't agree. That's not collateral estoppel in our view because you didn't consider certain things that are in our record that would seem to indicate, and we have no idea, and now based on the argument here, we have no reason to understand why this document of residential tenancy was never addressed by either, clearly, I don't know if Judge Rankin, certainly not in the docket entries for Superior Court, and Judge Mangan never addressed it. If we view that as an important issue to us, we can certainly do whatever we want. That's what we're charged to do. That's our authority, isn't it?
I disagree, respectfully, sir, that in this particular case, as you are presenting it now, there would be no reason why you would not be looking de novo at anything that ever went before the Superior Court. Say, for instance, someone were to bring a housing code violation petition before you here, and we say, well, you know, we just had a full trial in Superior Court where housing code violations was the defense, and the judge issued a ruling. Well, we're not the Superior Court. I think we should go and look again to see if the Superior Court was correct on whether or not these housing code violations existed. I do not believe that that is the role of this court, that collateral estoppel does, in fact, apply. And if Mr. Watkins wished to claim that fraud was involved in obtaining the judgment before Judge Rankin, it is incumbent upon him to either brought that to Judge Rankin's attention or to the proper reviewing court of that.
Okay.
And as I understood Mr. Watkins to say, the document of him claiming that he was a residential tenant and that he had an original lease was in fact presented, if again I wasn't there, but as I understand Mr. Watkins' presentation this morning, that he did in fact present that to the Superior Court. And if he did not, that would be a failing for which he should be responsible in any event. He had the opportunity to do that, and that's why I say that what you're really doing in trying to reopen that is you're invading the province of the Superior Court to judge the credibility of the witnesses before it in its own trial. And I find that quite disturbing. And I I have the highest respect for this tribunal, but I don't believe that that's the proper role of this commission.
No, I understand clearly what you're saying. We're charged with reviewing the decision below, and if the decision below relies on something that is not explained in our record, why the judge relied on it, or, for example, if you're going to apply the doctrine of collateral estoppel, et cetera, then what you have to do is go through a test to show how the issues are similar. The predicate to this tenant petition was a 30-day failure to provide 30-day notice and a claim of retaliation. Neither of those were addressed because of the assumption that he was a commercial tenant. Well, the assumption was based on a factual record that at least I don't have developed at all, and the court below didn't even address. It just kind of assumed that the issues were the same on tenancy, etc. So we never reach the merits of the tenant petition. And it concerns me when a court below, and we've had this before, doesn't provide us sufficient reasoning to adopt, rather than an automatic response, but the reason why these issues are the same, the reasons why, as with respect to retaliation, et cetera, that she can't address them at all based on this. And we're just, this is issue preclusion, and I find it to be a record that I'm having trouble with.
Would you allow me one more stab at it?
Sure.
Commissioner, you say that Judge Magnin did not address the issues that were raised in the tenant petition, and that's true, but that's necessary, because in order to reach the issues raised in the tenant petition, Mr. Watkins has to meet the threshold issue
right.
of coming within the jurisdiction.
Right.
Had he come to you, I would hope that you would agree with me, that had he come and filed a tenant petition and said, I am a commercial tenant, but I think my landlord is retaliating against me and I wish to file a tenant petition on that basis. I hope you would agree that the OAH would not review the issue of retaliation because he would not have met the threshold issue of residential tenancy to even come within the purview of the agency.
And
that's what happened here.
Let me ask you this one.
Because there's a final judgment. It's not just the opinion. There's a final judgment of commercial tenancy.
Now, where then is the venue? Would the venue be if he believed, even as a commercial tenant, he was being retaliated against?
The Court of Appeals has held that retaliation is not a defense in a commercial tenancy
right,
situation.
But he could have at least raised it in Superior Court then. Are you saying we have no jurisdiction and that not even Superior Court has jurisdiction based on their interpretation of the Act? I mean, who's given the authority to interpret the Act? Aren't we the expert agency in determining what, in fact, in interpreting the Act? They don't have to adopt our views, but we don't have to necessarily adopt their views either, do we?
I believe under collateral estoppel, which is issue preclusion, that in this case you do. We have a non-appealed final judgment of the Superior Court that this is a commercial tenancy and not a residential tenancy.
Okay.
I believe the collateral estoppel prohibits this agency from moving forward, and certainly as a matter of comedy, if not collateral estoppel, one should recognize the judgments. But I believe, sir, that it is a matter of law that you're precluded.
We have precedent in Butt versus Vogel that says, look, there was a fortune teller question whether a landlord qualified for the small landlord exemption or whether this fifth unit, which was occupied, whether it was occupied for commercial purposes. And the fundamental question was the residential use incidental to the business use or vice versa? Substantial evidence determined that the residential use here was subordinate to the commercial use, and therefore the landlord had four units that owned four units, four of which he was disqualified from using the small landlord exemption. So there are cases in which we've addressed different types of uses and whether or not exemptions under the exemption clause, whether or not there's standards that can be used to determine certain, incidental or primary uses. There's nothing in the Act that tells us that a commercial use. There's hardly case law. I found one case that unsighted said, Judge Schwab said, commercial tenants aren't subject to the Act. It's the only case I found. And he didn't cite any precedent. So while I agree with you in many ways, we can disagree on other things. And so, as I said, the Court of Appeals is always there to take on whatever I may say or my colleagues may say. So,
may I say, Commissioner, I'm not saying that under no circumstances, never ever, can the agency walk up to or make a determination about commercial tenancies. In fact, as you cited in the Budd versus Vogel case, there clearly was jurisdiction over whether or not something qualifies for an exemption, and if it comes to you in the first instance to make a determination as to this fifth unit. Now, it was not the case, I would suspect, in Budd, that there had already been a determination of the Superior Court about this fifth unit.
You're right.
There are areas, as we know, and I mentioned housing code violations, for instance, that are areas of concurrent jurisdiction. And this could be, under some circumstances, an issue of concurrent jurisdiction. And in those areas of concurrent jurisdiction, the question is, where was the issue presented first?
Right.
And if it was presented, like housing code violations, in Superior Court and litigated fully in Superior Court, then it cannot be relitigated before the agency.
I understand.
And that's what we have here. It was litigated. The docket entry, however sparse or short, specifically makes a finding. It was after a trial, an opportunity to present evidence to be heard, a decision never appealed, was determined before it ever came to this agency. This agency should rely upon it.
I got you. Okay. That's cogently argued. Okay, sir, you're given 5 minutes, and you can now comment on what you've just heard and what you believe to be issues.
Honorable judges, I just want to apologize for choking. I swallowed a breath mint, and
no, you don't have to apologize, sir. We were trying to listen to her, and then all of a sudden there was this, and all it sounded like to me was, you know, oh my, here we go again.
I actually got shocked, and then I inhaled, and then
you don't have to worry.
My lightsaber almost took me out.
Do you want some water? Are you okay?
No, she gave me some. Okay. Water. I loved it.
Now you got 5 minutes, sir, and just tell us what your reactions to Ms. Blumenthal, and try to keep it to what Ms. Blumenthal had said. She made a number of assertions, and I know on a legal basis. You know, you're not a trained lawyer, so it's going to be hard kind of to understand some of the concepts, but please give us what your reaction is to this, okay?
Yes. So first, I want to talk about TOPA.
I want to tell you about TOPA, that's beyond us. We make no decisions on TOPA.
No, I totally understand. I just want to say with the initial, so to my understanding as a tenant, to me, getting somebody rendering onto you TOPA in its own writing clearly stipulates that you are a residential tenant. So on May 16th of 2011, the housing provider surrendered unto me at 805 tenancy. Now, we had an issue over this with our tenant association. I'm going to very briefly wrap that up, and I'm going to show you exactly.
Let me just ask you this, because we're going to I want to cut to the chase on this one. Okay, I think I know where you're going with this. What you're saying is, look, the housing provider claims I'm a commercial tenant, but in these TOPA documents and these other documents, it's clear that they view me as a residential tenant. Am I right in that?
Yes, Your Honor. But even further than that. Here they put Adeli LLC.
Okay.
I had an issue with it. So I asked the general manager for the company, who at that time was coming and was UIP. They stated that I was not the only one who they had submitted documentation to them with an LLC, and that I would never be ascribed as commercial.
And did you tell all of that to Judge Rankin?
I did. When I did tell Judge Rankin this, Judge Rankin then said to me, well, then what other document do you have to TOPA? Do you have some kind of signed documentation where they are ascribing you as a tenant? other than this TOPA document.
And those are the RAD documents.
And those were the RAD documents. So I told Judge Rankin, I said, well, there are three other tenants with LLC that are not going through this. Right? So if they're saying they're kicking all of the commercial buildings out, which was their claim in court, then why were the three other tenants with an LLC with that had TOPA not being pursued in court? Why did they then say that, oh, well, now his lease is almost on a month-to-month basis, and now we're asking that he be evicted? So
you were initially brought in for non-payment, right?
So initially it was non-payment. When they went to court, they filed against me point-blank as an LLC. Once in court, the first judge clearly said to me that I couldn't even defend myself. The judge basically, Judge Holman basically said to me that you can't even defend yourself because you're a commercial tenant. This is before we even had a hearing of evidentiary finding whether or not I was residential or commercial. So then I said, in the first two court proceedings between the first two judges, I said, how is it that I have to defend myself?
I just want to stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
So after you went, because you saw several judges, mm-hmm. and then ultimately the purpose for going before Judge Rankin ultimately was to decide whether you were commercial or residential?
No, the reason, excuse me, I'm still a little choky. The reason for Judge Rankin was because Judge Rankin was one of the last judges on the circuit. He happened to be, I believe, the sixth judge that we were going to go to. Because
right,
the first,
that, regardless of whoever the judge was.
Right.
The purpose of that hearing that day was for some judge to make a determination whether it was commercial or residential. That's why you brought all your documents
correct.
That day.
Correct. But Judge Rankin clearly stipulated that he was going to take the argument from the housing provider. And his argument was, and I thought it was pretty concise, he said, if this person signed a document to the contrary, stating that you are a tenant, other than the TOPA, because Judge Rankin said he did find it awkward that there were other tenants of LLC that weren't before him, and that he said that because it was commercial, that he would handle the fixing of the unit, because remind you now, they illegally did a water flush which caused my toilet to come off of its bearing. Now, I was on the 8th floor. That's a lot of pressure. After the flood, Judge Rankin said, well, they have to fix the flooding, the mold, and then pay for all your belongings. You know, make the room, make the unit whole again.
Did you have an efficiency?
Yes. So it was me and my dog. Now, they changed the rules of whether or not you could have tenants and dogs in the building because of the tenant request. So how could I, as a commercial tenant, make them sign and agree to allow me to have a pet?
But again,
as commercial.
You told all of this to Judge Rankin.
Right, but Judge Rankin clearly said that there were two issues for Judge Rankin, and I don't want to use up all of my time, but Judge Rankin clearly was saying this. The RAD document would have stipulated which units were usable as commercial and residential. Eddie Cardone argued that the whole building could be used as commercial. We know that to be false. That is not true. So the RAD document stipulates which are commercial and which are residential under their own agreement with the city.
Let me ask you a question real quick. You said that you never referred to yourself as a Dilley, but on October 12th, the same day that the judge determined that you were commercial, that the tenancy was a commercial tenancy, on the statement of understanding, mediation, and case evaluation, on the signature line, it says defendant signature, Adili LLC, Byron Watkins, and then defendant's attorney, Byron Watkins. So I'm a little confused that here you are saying you never used it, and yet then there's a later document, protective order information sheet, you sign as Adili LLC, Byron Watkins. I'm just wondering, it seems to me somewhere in mid course here, and I don't know what the reason is, but you started referring to you referred to it as Adili LLC slash Byron Watkins.
Yes. So there was an issue between two judges. Mm-hmm. Judge Holman and another judge basically could not ascribe the issue of tendency. Eddie Cardone had asked me to sign a continuance between me and him. Now, the document that he submitted was actually not a continuance. It was actually a document that would have made me agree to being a commercial to go forward. So I told the judge that in no uncertain terms did I want that to happen, that I was asking for the continuance, as Mrs. Blumenthal had stated, so that I could actually get the RAD documentation, because that is when me and him sat down for the first time to basically say, you give me such said documents, and I'm going to give you any documents that you request, because we were in the finding period.
Now, did you say that your other office was at 1233 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Yes.
Okay. There's another document in the record that says affidavit in support of service on the superintendent of corporations, and it says registered agent, not at location. They listed you as a registered. You claimed you were noted as a registered agent. That's who you were. Registered agent, not at location, listed in the documents with the Office of Corporations, and that is Byron Watkins, 1233 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. So they tried to serve documents on you at that address, and there was no such, it appears at least from this, that they got no response, and they were unaware that you actually...
I actually have a funny joke for that, Your Honor. Actually, they came and they knocked on the door, and they continued to knock on the door until another tenant who was next door asked them to stop. When they did not stop, because apparently it was a process server, he called the police. When the gentleman called the police, apparently, to my understanding, the gentleman scurried across the street and went to the Exxon, wherein as then the ANC commissioner and another individual who I can bring as witnesses as well.
No, we don't do that.
Okay. They actually tried to find out who this individual were.
Okay.
I didn't know that it was a process server until I was actually in court waiting to go to my hearing with Eddie Cardone, and the gentleman walked up to me and said, "Oh, I tried to serve you."
No, the only thing that I want to say is that there seems to be, on the evidence we have, some kind of recognition on your part that Adili LLC was, if not part of your tenancy, that when you signed off on it, it was mentioned at the same, you know, there was a slash, so that there were kind of two things going on. One is Adili LLC, and then the other is Byron Watkins. And I'm just wondering, what could the judge have relied on in that very, very short entry into the docket to conclude that you were a commercial tenant based on the documents that I have in the record from below? And it seems to me that there's evidence in there that you also referred to yourself at some point as Adili LLC. No.
Let me explain in more minute
detail. And you got two more minutes to do this.
Okay, so let me explain in more minute detail. So because I was representing myself pro se in court, mm-hmm. The judges were trying to be lenient with me. The judges didn't have, and there is no structure in D.C. for a partial tendency. And so for them, up until the point of a decision, they would not let me represent myself as pro se, because they had sued me, and that's Alcazar, as commercial. So originally, the judge said, okay, we're pursuing this as commercial.
Because as a commercial person, you'd have to have legal representation. You couldn't be pro se.
Correct. So I argued, right. So then I argued twice before the original judge that said, no, you cannot do that until there's a finding. So the judge was, I kept a little bit flabbergasted by that and said, you know, okay, I'll split the bread in two. So he basically said, before I got to Judge Holman, that if you have that work, that you will be representing not only yourself but the LLC. So that if the decision is that it's an LLC, then you need to get representation. If the decision is that you're residential, then we go forward as you being a tenant. At that time, I had submitted all documentation as TOPA and everything else that I had from all the list of tenant information, everything else. So the judge more or less said, look, he clearly has all this documentation from you saying he's a tenant. Then you're coming down here to court saying he's residential. So when did that change? So then it became the argument over the lease, of which lease was the lease that they were using to go forward. So I basically said that this lease with the dealie was not an original lease, because if it were the original lease, then it would have had an agreement in there or some kind of document stipulating that I could do business, because the lease doesn't say. So then they said we do a standard lease and that we do an agreement with the business practices.
But you told all of this to Judge Rankin, correct?
Judge Rankin was under the impression that the decision had to be reached, whether it was residential or commercial, due pursuant to, like, documentation. So he said that he would look at the lease of a dealie. He looked at the documents itself as far as it's standing, and he said, well, if this RAD document comes into your possession and that this person lied to me in court, because they brought in a witness, I asked the person who signed me up for the lease in court. I said, did I sign it as a dealie or Byron Watkins? She said, you signed it as Byron Watkins. So Judge Rankin said, okay, well then if this is a commercial lease, then you have to have a documentation from another agency where they signed saying that it's residential. And clearly, we all know that that would be RAD, because that is the only other place where they are forced and compelled under law to actually sign to stipulate tenancy. There's no other agency.
I have a question for you.
This is the last one.
I hope you can just be short, too. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, why didn't you have a full copy of your original lease that had your name at the front?
So the original lease, what happened was when I signed the lease, the printer broke mid-stroke. So I had the initial lease. At that time, they gave me the one that came from the company originally. That lease was basically just like this lease, but it had no cover letter. That company was then sold. When they came back in, it wasn't until we went to court that there was another lease that had a dealie on it. And when I asked them about it, because remember, I wasn't the only tenant that had an LLC. There were four other tenants. We all said, we're not going to play this game with you. We know what you guys are trying to do, and you have to come out and stipulate that we're all residential. At a meeting at the Tenant Association, they did just that. And so Wagner, who's BOSA LLC, myself, and two other people, including the president of the Tenant Association, Leonard Ferrant, all had LLCs.
And they testified before Rankin?
No. All Judge Rankin was concerned about was, he said, okay, look, you have a lease, right? You're contesting this lease. Do you have another document?
Okay, I understand.
You know?
Okay. And this is the last question. And before Judge Rankin, did you discuss that your signature is in your personal capacity?
Yes.
And what did he say to that?
So Judge Rankin said that he did agree with that. He did. He said, I agree with you. But he said, but they have this cover letter. So he said, if they committed fraud or perjury and you find out, then you bring this back to court.
Okay.
Now, I just want to remind you that RAD did not give me the document until we went before this judge.
Thank you so much.
I just want to tell you what Ms. Blumenthal has said is a legal principle that says if another court at the same level that you might be makes a decision on the facts on issues that are identical to the issues that may be before another court, and they make the first decision, mm-hmm. that under certain legal doctrines that decision has to hold for the next court. The next court has to abide by it. what I haven't heard, and we've focused too much in some ways now, I take responsibility for this, on Judge Rankin, because that's a separate proceeding. Mm-hmm. That's the Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. Now, you missed the opportunity to appeal to them. Well, for whatever reason, they didn't get an appeal. So what we have then is we have the court below, OAH, that looks at Judge Rankin's opinion and says, okay, look, Judge Rankin made a decision that Adili is a commercial tenant, and because of that, because they made the decisions on that, and because they had a factual hearing, et cetera, regardless of all the complications that you're talking about, mm-hmm. which aren't in our record, by the way. We don't have, you know, you've really explained well what was going on, okay, but that's not in our record.
Yes.
And we can't treat this as testimony, okay?
Yes.
This is just argument on issues, okay? But the court, Judge Mankin said, you know what, Judge Rankin's already decided these issues, and the most important of which is that you are being treated as Adili as the plaintiff, and that's a commercial tenant. And so the petitioner here isn't Byron Watkins, it's Adili. That determination was made by Judge Rankin over here, therefore it's binding on me, and that's how she decided the case. Okay, and that's what you're appealing from. Let me just finish. And all the information you're giving us now, we have to look at our record to see if it's in our records and if it supports whatever you may be saying about not the proceeding over there, but the proceeding below, which is the only thing that we can look at. Okay, if Judge Mankin heard all this what you're saying now, or if she didn't, that the record should tell us what she did hear and what you did say below that might indicate that certain decisions were made by other places that raise questions to us. But that's what the legal issue is, sir, to us, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
I do, and I wanted to answer that.
Sure.
Just really quickly. So
okay.
when Judge Mankin, she asked me in writing, she said, do you have any evidence to prove what you're saying? She actually asked me for a response. She ignored my response.
Did you have the opportunity
yes.
to did it go into the record?
Yes,
okay.
It went into the record. So
okay.
just to let you know, Judge Mankin asked me, did I have a document? Because I kept asking or kept saying that there was this document and that I was going to prove
yes, sir.
Fraud.
Gotcha.
In three different filings, I did that. Judge Mankin said, well, then bring it on, in essence. And I said, great. So then I filed it. When I filed it, she totally ignored it. She didn't even address it in her response. All she did was focus on Judge Rankin. And so all I wanted to focus on was, to me, tendency should be TOPA. It should be tenant. It should be tenant petitioner and what you do as a tenant. Now, how we got from me being a tenant for almost over 3 years to all of a sudden changing gears and becoming a commercial, it's no guesstimate to me that why over in Superior Court they let me juggle all kinds of balls.
Okay. Well, I tell you, you know, both of you, I thank Ms. Blumenthal for an excellent presentation on what, you know, on the doctrines. I may have a different view at times, but I certainly understand it. I don't remember. Are you still living in Alcazar?
No, I am not, but I will be moving back right across the street.
You've also made, you did a very good job as a pro se. I'm very impressed, you know. Part of the problem here is that sometimes pro se tenants come in and they think, oh, this is I'm going to treat this like a trial, like I did below, okay? This is a different game. This is like, okay, what you're telling us is, look, not what you would present at trial, but you're saying Judge Mankin made a mistake in making her decision. And that's, And you did that in a way that we were trying to get at, as and what Ms. Blumenthal was trying to do is say, no, Judge Mangan made the right decision on these grounds, and that's how we have to look at this. We have to look at the legal issues that are raised by her decision. But you've, with all of the factual evidence you provided, some of it is in our record, some of it isn't. We can't look outside what we have. So I just want to tell you that I think my colleagues would agree, did a very good job in trying to address the issues, the legal issues, and you certainly have given us a lot to think about, and as has Counsel Blumenthal. So thank you very much. It's now 12:13. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.